Morning, Grace. How are you? Good. You guys doing all right? Yeah. You're okay from yesterday? It was awful hot. It was awful hot. We did backyard work all day. It was crazy. It's crazy, but nice to finally be warm. 2 weeks ago, we were downstairs for Mother's Day, freezing, because, you know, we had to be downstairs. But praise God, nice days. Summer is here, coming up. Memorial Day weekend, next weekend already. Just going by. So today we're going to finish out our series in the book of Acts, and we're going to talk about Acts 29. And we're going to do that by looking at the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Now, I know you get, wait, I thought it was Acts 29. It is Acts 29. So if you could find it, raise your hand. If you can find Acts 29 in your Bible, you can raise your hand. It's just a title, all right? But there's a reason for that, right? So Acts is about the book of Acts. We've been studying this since January, as we've wanted to be and to, as a church, evaluate and to look and to see what we need to be, right? So Acts, the book itself, is about how the gospel was taken by men and women who received power when they were overcome by the Holy Spirit, and they were witnesses of Jesus Christ to the world, literally to their whole world that they knew, right? We saw this, but here's the reality. The book of Acts should not be a closed volume historically. I realize scripturally it's a closed volume. I'm not talking about adding to scripture, but as a volume historically, it shouldn't be a closed volume. Because Acts was just the story of the church, and we named this series the Unstoppable Church, right? Because we have an unstoppable God, and we saw how that church has been unstoppable. But we can look outside of the book of Acts to see how the church has been unstoppable. And about how this movement has continued and how men and women have taken seriously the call of Jesus and how they have moved out and they've told their neighbors and their friends and their family about Jesus and how people have come to know him. Now, we know this personally, right? Because we're here. We're part of Acts 29, right? Praise Jesus that other people have shared him. Not only through the last 2,000 years, but with us personally. As a matter of fact, I want you to listen to some stories about people in our congregation who are living in Acts 29. All right? So if we can hit the lights, just watch up on the screen.
My name is Jim Megna, and I've been a Christian since 1991.
My name is Linda Kirchgesner, and I have been a Christian for about 30 years.
My name is Andrew Cornelius. I've been a Christian for about 4 years now.
My name is Kim Green, and I've known Jesus for 50 years and 7 months and a few days. So I have a great story. It is a true story. It is my story. And I was searching for Jesus.
So when I was in my early 20s, I was just starting my career. I was working out, just really doing the things that a young man does, and had a few events in my life that were kind of those types of events that kind of make you stop and think about things.
Two examples of people influential to me come from one side radio and the other side my friend group.
I was a searcher, but I could not find the Lord. He was elusive, and I didn't know where to go and how to do it. And it was very challenging because I knew I needed him because I was a really messed up kid.
Back in, like, 1992, our daughter, Amanda, she found a friend that lived across the street. Her name is Christina. Christina belonged to the church, Grace Gospel, at the time. And Amanda started going with Christina and her family to the Knights of Columbus, I believe it was. The Kramers started to have a Bible study at their house. And I decided, you know, I'll go and see what it's all about, because we didn't know anything about the church. And I started going to Bible study.
And at that time, when I was working out in the gym, I had a gentleman approach me. His name is Nick, and he would just start chatting with me about working out, different routines and diet and those types of things. And then he started to talk to me about Jesus, which I thought was odd. But he made it seem interesting, and we talked pretty much every time we were at the gym together.
So on radio was how I discovered the wonder-working power of Jesus in the first place, through a radio host on Family Radio, no longer working there, but thank goodness for his ministry. His name is David Manzi. He used to host a morning program called Rise and Rejoice.
And there was a family in my town that were quite notorious. A whole bunch of kids, always up to something. Every single one of them. The older ones were actually wanted by the police on quite a few occasions. And the one that I knew best was in my grade. And the last time I had spent any time with her, she was a witch. That was the thing she was into. And she had the clothes, and she had the books, and the spells, and the incantations, and everyone thought she was crazy, but also super cool, and she was a witch. So now it's summer, hadn't seen her in a while, and I'm walking on the railroad tracks, and I see someone in the distance coming towards me. And as I'm looking, I'm like, oh, man, that's Sandy. I wonder what she's up to now. And as she kept coming towards me and I'm going towards her, I noticed that she wasn't dressed like a witch. And when I finally got up to her, the first thing I said to her was, what are you up to now, Sandy? What's going on? Couldn't wait to hear the story. And she said to me, I found Jesus. That's what she said. And I said, you're kidding. I've been looking everywhere for him, and I can't find him. And she said, you got to come with me.
Initially, I just really was polite and would nod my head and say, that's great, Nick. But over the course of about a year, things started to penetrate, and I started to have questions, and I was asking him questions about who Jesus was and who God was and what does that really mean for me. And we would sometimes spend a couple of hours just talking right there amidst all of these guys working out, and he would take as much time, and he would point to scriptures. And after a while, he said to me one day, Jim, I think you're ready. And I said, Nick, I don't know what you mean. He said, I think you're ready. And I said, ready for what? And he said, you're ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? You're right, Nick. I think I am. So right there, he led me through a prayer that introduced me to Jesus. Right there in Olympic Gym in East Islip, I gave my heart to Jesus. July 12th, 1991. And that is because Nick took his commission seriously. And Nick came from a very challenging background. And he didn't let his past stop him. He knew who he was in Christ at that moment. And he had an obedience to the mission that changed my life forever.
I accepted Jesus on September 1st, 2018, 3 weeks before I would attend Grace Gospel Church.
I remember the day that it hit me. I knew what they were talking about. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I just felt such a weight that was lifted from me. And I can't even put into words how much it affected me, but it changed my whole life. It really changed my perspective on every day of my life and every aspect of my life, too. After that happened, after I started going to church and I became saved, we lost our son, Kyle. And I had that peace, and I had I was okay. I was okay as well as I could be okay. But I thank God for that. And without Jesus in our lives, I don't think we would be where we are today. I wouldn't have the peace that I have.
And there was one young man who was the first to give his heart to Jesus, and he is today a pastor. And at that time, he was a great influence on me. He saw my passionate search. But I was still fighting with God and telling God what to do. Even though now I'm with these other people who love Jesus, I'm still fighting with God and saying, you have to prove yourself to me. I think that's what it came down to. I didn't have faith yet. I hadn't come into the obedience of faith yet. And we went on a retreat. At this retreat, a bunch of young people, and this young man in particular, were talking to me about the Lord. And I don't exactly remember what they said, but I remember what I said to the Lord. Okay, I give up. I will do it your way. I'm yours. I've never looked back. I gave my heart to the Lord. People literally came up to me and said, what are you doing? Because I want to buy it. You do not even look like the same person that you did last week. And I said, it's Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus.
At the same time I was going to the Bible studies, Leo was working for Consumers Kitchens and Baths. And there was a gentleman working there also. I don't remember his name, but nobody wanted to drive in the trucks with this gentleman because he kept sharing the gospel with everybody. And they said, if Leo can't drive with this guy has to go. Well, Leo started driving with this gentleman, and they would put on the Christian music, and his friend would talk baseball cards first. But then they started talking about the gospel. And it's just another way that God choreographed our lives, because at the same time I was going to Bible studies, Leo was being witnessed to in a truck. And that's just so God. It's just so God. I don't know what else to say.
Amen. I love what Linda said at the end. It's just so God, right? It's just so God. See, we're part of that. Even here at Grace Gospel, we have had people reach us with the gospel, part of that Acts 29 living, if you can call it that. So let me take a few minutes and let me lead you through a commission. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Now, Jesus has been crucified already, right? It happens before the book of Acts, right? But he's been risen from the dead, and now he's talking to his disciples, okay? And so Jesus is with them, and he gives them what is now known as the Great Commission. What is now known as the Great Commission. Look with me, Acts 28, verse 18. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. And so you might be familiar with this passage, right? It's a great passage. It's a reminder. We've talked here probably many times from this pulpit on Matthew 28, But we need to realize and we need to hear this commission again, because in Acts, they heard that commission, right? They heard the commission of Jesus Christ. And what's interesting is the first thing you see in the commissioning of the disciples is the authority of Jesus Christ. You notice what he says. And you know, Jesus is never at doubt with who he is or what he owns. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And so you got to understand that language that he's talking about. All authority. So the authority of Jesus has already been established in the New Testament. He's not trying to establish that he is in control. They understand who he is. And after his death and resurrection, they really understood who he was. You remember the scene of Thomas, who before Jesus bows before him when he sees the nail holes in his hands and his the piercing in his side, and he cries out, "My Lord and my God." Right? They know who Jesus is at this point. They know that he is the Lord, all authority. But he is putting his weight and the weight of his authority behind his words. He is the boss. That's why we call it a commission. A commission is that which is given as an instruction, as a command for us to follow and for us to do. It's not optional. It's not optional. As a matter of fact, too often in the church, as some have said, it's not the churches have followed the Great Commission, it's been the Great Omission. That we've just kind of thought that it was about our comfort and about our peace and about ourselves and that we're just okay. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus sends us out, and he sends his disciples and all who follow them, which includes us. And so it represents, this verse represents the foundation of what the church is called to do. Right? You remember way back in the beginning of the book of Acts, I think it was J.D. Greer who said, you know, it wasn't that Jesus created a church and then said, I got to have something for them to do. Let me figure out a mission. No, Jesus already had a mission, and he created the church to fulfill the mission. He didn't create a mission for the church. He created the church for the mission. And that was what? Well, he gives a command in here, and often we think the command is go, but it's not. And again, if you've heard this, if you've been here long enough, you know this. There's one command in this passage, and that is to make disciples. That's the command. The command here of his disciples is to make disciples. In the Greek, it's very clear that one imperative, one command, make disciples. Jesus calls his people, as a matter of fact, disciple makers. That's what we're due. To raise people up to be followers of Jesus. And I love it. Even when Troy was first here, and we've talked about this many times, of it's all discipleship in Christ. Even evangelism, in a sense, is discipleship because it's pre-discipleship. Right? It's leading them to the cross, and then from the cross, you continue to lead them to Jesus, right? So it's all in that sense, because we're all about making disciples. Jesus never commanded the church to make converts. You know, just to make decisions for Jesus. He commanded the church to make disciples. As a matter of fact, Paul says, what kind of disciples are we to make? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, as he's talking to Timothy, he says, the things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Don't you love that? Hey, the things that you've heard from me, you teach to somebody else, and you teach them in that way so that they can teach others. That they can be the witness that we're called to be to other people. I've been a witness to you. You need to be a witness to somebody else. And it needs to be the kind of witness that they understand that they need to be a witness to somebody else. Somebody once said, I don't know who, a long time ago I heard it, that Christianity is one generation from extinction. Think about that. Christianity is one generation from extinction. If all the Christians in the world right now just said, you know what, we're just going to suck it all in. Now, We know that God's in control. We do know that God's going to keep his church. I got that, right? But God has chosen that we would be his instruments. He could make the rocks cry out. He could make the trees speak the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think it would be more effective. I'm just going to say, right? I don't know. At least I would hope that if you're walking down the street one day, you're walking your puppy or something like that, and the trees started talking to you, that maybe you'd listen. Although I don't even think that would happen. They'd start worshiping the tree, which is what they do. They'd say, oh, I got to figure it out. It's all about nature. It's all about Mother Nature or all that, right? Because that's what they do now. No, Jesus said, I don't have to make the trees cry out. I don't have to make the rocks cry out because I already have a mouthpiece. It's the church. It's us. We're called to make disciples. It's that simple. And he breaks down pretty simply how we're to do that. How we're to do that? By going, baptizing, and teaching. All right, so that first word, go. Go. That's a small word. That's a powerful word. As a matter of fact, many of us think that go is the command. Go and make disciples. Right, but it's not. There's only one command, one imperative, and that is, like I've said, make disciples. But, so that makes go a participle. Right, so it could be translated going or as you go, but it's not that casual. Okay, I don't want you to get the idea that it's just this casual word. It is not. It picks up the force of the imperative of make disciples. It's go and make disciples. As you go, make disciples, right? It's not just, just live life and figure it out. And if a disciple happens to pop up, or if Jesus happens to, like, use you for his gospel, then that's great, but you just go about your life. That's not what he's talking about, right? It is, there's intentionality behind this. You go and you make disciples. You go and you be a witness for Jesus Christ in whatever you're doing. And wherever God has you, and the places that you work, and the places that you play. We heard several of this, right? I mean, we heard a woman who was in school who shared with her high school friend. We heard a man who was lifting at a gym, who that was his mission field. We heard others who were listening to a radio, and they spoke Jesus. We heard friends, neighbors across the street who would have the audacity. I just love that story of Tom and Linda inviting Christina first to church. And I'm amazed that Leo and Linda let her go for so long. And yet God, all of in that, right? How cool, right? And in their lives, in their daily lives, what you notice is at least those four stories, and I get there's others, right? And those four stories, they weren't in a church building. They weren't walking by a church and all of a sudden one day, pow, I guess I should go in. I know that's some people's stories, right? There's all kinds of stories. I love what Kim said in the beginning. This is, I got a great story. It's my story. Right? Your story is not her story. Your story is not my story. We all have a different story to tell. And here's the point. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. We said last week, Paul, when he witnessed, and we looked at the end of the book of Acts, and I hope you went back and read that, 21 through 28, and every opportunity had Paul, and it's so interesting, isn't it, that Paul always, many times started with his testimony. This is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. And then, yes, he knew scriptures, and he would open them, and he would share scriptures, and he would tell people about Jesus, and he would share that. But you know what? You have a story to tell. That young girl, Sandy, in Kim Green's life. Where would our church be without Kim Green? We love Kim Green, right? She's amazing. Sandy, the young girl who knew nothing. What's going on? I found Jesus. Hallelujah is right. Praise God, right? So, but here's the point. Go. Go. Because our inclination is not to go. It is to stay. It is to huddle. It is to be protected. It is to, especially in our culture today, mind your own business. Just mind your own business. Right? Let people live the lives that they want to live because whatever they want to do is okay. Remember the quote I gave you last week, again, from J.D. Greer? He said the church at its inception was essentially a movement built around the conviction that Jesus had died as the only Savior for sinners, and that he'd risen from the dead, proving who he said he was, and that he had commanded everyone everywhere to repent and to come to him. The reality is that we just need to be convinced that there's only one answer, and Jesus is the answer. All right, so he calls us to go. That's what we're told to do. Then he says baptize, and maybe that sounds a little weird, like I'm just supposed to go sprinkle people with water. Is that what that is? You kind of have to know what Jesus is saying here, all right? So he's talking about that. So he says, baptizing them in, or into, is that word in the Greek, into the name of Jesus. The word baptize means to introduce into those who would become disciples. And they are baptized, right, into the Trinity. See, we are God's instrument that lead people to Jesus. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be stepping stones to the Lord and to Jesus and to who he is. And so what Jesus, I think, envisioned here was both the preaching of the word and a response. A preaching of the word and the response. And then the after of that, the conviction after salvation comes baptism. That's what they do. And then he says to teach them. To teach them. When in Christ, our mission is to help people to grow and to grow up in Christ. Right? So we bring them into the kingdom and we grow them up into the kingdom. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. That's what the church of Jesus Christ is called to do. To be a disciple of Christ means to put yourself under his teaching. And so we kind of get that. We kind of think, well, that's what church is about. It's about pastor teaching, or you know, the Sunday school, or children's church people downstairs, our kingdom kids and our super church. That's what they're doing. They're teaching. Then we have Bible studies and we teach. And so we understand that. But it's not just about like a transfer of information. Right? It's that disciple-making process so that you might look more like Jesus, so that you'll go tell others, so that they can look more like Jesus, who would be able to tell others so that they might be more like Jesus. You get the process? It's so cool. Again, we're called to be part of his mission. To be able to grow people into people that look and feel and sound and act like the Lord Jesus Christ, to his glory and to his grace, for our good, that we might have life, and I mean real life, I mean true life, I mean what life was meant to be. Not a life that just goes around doing whatever you want. You know, I just want to be able to do what I want to be able to do. We're in the bedroom this morning. I was getting ready. Danielle was just starting to get ready. I think it was this morning. And she says, I don't know, she just looked up something on her phone. And the Bronx Zoo, there's going to be a case in New York Supreme Court because they're suing the Bronx Zoo because for the elephant to be recognized as a human. That's the stupidity of the world today. And in the article, it's like the article, the elephant can't do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. And it can't be with who he wants to be with and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, this is just so, but this is the world we live in. See, we just are like, well, we should be able to do whatever we want to do in whatever way we want to do it, including not only us, but the elephants, right? Let's let the elephant lease an apartment in New York City. See how that goes. Right, don't get hung up on the elephant, I know, but it was just so weird to me. It's right there, I couldn't stop. But see, that's where we are. You just live, you let everything live the way they want to live. You know what that's called? It's called chaos. And we are reaping in heaps the benefit of chaos and sin. Right? I don't know how anybody ever denies the depravity of mankind. Crazy, right? And so what do? We teach Jesus, and get this, we teach Jesus through the scriptures. We don't figure them out on our own. I got this new brand of Jesus that I want to sell you. We don't have to make anything up, praise the Lord. We just have to teach what he says to teach, to do what he says to do, to make fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to make. That's what we're called to make. And so can I suggest that we need to be an Acts 29 church? We need to be a church that's living in that, because there's too many churches that are not Acts 29 churches. There are too many churches that are not in the way of Christ to leading other people to Jesus. Right? That's why our mission statement is to exalt Christ and to point others to him. It's not independent. It's not either you exalt Christ or you can only exalt Christ. Well, I don't want to point anybody to Jesus. I just want to live my life and I just want to, you know, live for an audience of one. That's awesome. But as a disciple, you're not a fully devoted follower of Jesus unless you're pointing others to him. You're not. So how do we do that? We do that by being a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God on mission to multiply his kingdom. Intentionality. Go and make disciples. Well, like, when? Well, when you go. When you walk out the door, you go make disciples. It's about answering the call of our commander-in-chief. This is what it's all about, brothers and sisters. This is why God created the church, not so that you can be comfortable in air-conditioned space when it's hot outside and we have bagels. And I mean, listen, I'm in for those benefits. I love them. I love hanging out with you guys. But we're not here 24/7, are we? And we shouldn't be. We're going to walk out those doors. And when we walk out those doors, we're called to make a difference in people's lives. I'm going to ask you to hit the lights. And we got one. A challenge from our friends.
The wonder to me is what the Lord did through Sandy. I mean, he saved her. She's married to a pastor now. He saved her, and then he used her to tell me how.
We became really good friends with the Kramers. Really good friends, and not only with them, but with their whole entire family. I mean, we're as close to them as we are with our own family. They've been amazing people, absolutely amazing people. They have blessed our lives and our family more than you could even imagine. Well, I definitely know I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for Tom and Linda, because God clearly used them.
I have to think that in the time that I attended that gym, there had to be at least a half dozen, maybe eight guys who he led to the Lord there. And he said that was his mission field. That's where the Lord had called him.
That church went from 8 people to 80 kids in about 6 weeks because we told everybody, everybody, come to this place. They love you. They love us. They'll love you. And you'll meet Jesus.
One of the times we were talking about missions, And he said, you know, wherever you are is a mission field. That's where God has you, and that's where you do the work of the Lord. And he took that very seriously. It's a challenge to others. It's also a challenge to me. You don't have to be sent to a foreign field to be on the missions field. I think that's really important and something that I have to remind myself. And there's a certain level of obedience and really a death to self, because Nick really never was concerned about what other people in that gym thought about him. He was not ashamed of the gospel, and he certainly was not ashamed to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ.
So if I could give one piece of advice from my walk, it's to not keep your walk to yourself.
Through his obedience, he was able to penetrate some pretty hard hearts, including mine. And the Lord really used that, and he just used a willing vessel. And I think that's probably the most important point here, is that Nick was willing. He submitted himself to the Lord. He wasn't concerned about his earthly reputation. He saw the goal beyond the temporal into eternity. He committed himself to the work of the Lord.
The church isn't a church if it isn't outside the church too.
You're so changed and so in love with him that you can't keep it inside. You have to tell people. And sometimes you have to tell them because they ask you, because they see that you are not the same. It is the Great Commission. It is living it out everywhere you go, every day, in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood. And community helps a lot. Being in church, being a part of a Christian community, a part of a church, we get encouragement, we hear one another's stories, and that really is what happened to me 50 years ago when I met Sandy on the railroad tracks. I mean, I was looking everywhere for God. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't find him. He wanted me in community. We need one another. And that, too, is part of the Great Commission. We make disciples, followers of Jesus, and we support each other, and we work together in this great call.
You know, amen. You know, you think about the book of the names in the book of Acts. So you think about Peter and John, Stephen, first martyr, James, Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, Apollos, Priscilla and Aquila. You know, but there's more names in the book of Acts, I believe, in that continuing book. Names that we've heard today, and Nick and David and Sandy and Linda and Tom. Those are the names in the line of Acts 29. Those are the names in the line of Jesus Christ for us. And the question is, are we going to be one of those names? Are we a name of somebody who's been a stepping stone of Jesus Christ for others? Christ calls us into relationship not just to be comfortable, not just for fire insurance, just not so that we, you know, I'm saved, you know, so that I can have peace in times of trouble. Although, praise God, guess what? There's peace in times of trouble. Why? Because I know I always have Jesus. When my world's falling apart, I can't hold on to that, but I can hold on to Jesus. He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. But I love what they said, right? I mean, Nick was just a man who took the call seriously. And you know, I wish we could have shown you more, right? One of the things Jim said about Nick was that he was just built like a brick house. I mean, he was the guy in the gym that looked like he was been in a gym 5 days, 7 days a week, right? But you know what? That meant that people who were lifting wanted to look maybe like Nick. But Nick knew that what he looked like didn't matter. He knew about his heart. So he shared Jesus, and I love that. In the time that Jim was there, 6 to 8 other guys come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I love what Kim said. Kim says, right, that you just experience Jesus so much that you can't hold him in. Nobody's asking you to manufacture anything. Just be in love with Jesus. Just be in love with Jesus. And I got to tell you, if it's not there, you know, if there's not a lot of excitement there, I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but what I am saying is you're not connected to the vine. You're not connected to the source of strength, that which gives us joy, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. I love how Linda said, right? I don't know where I'd be without Tom and Linda today. We don't know where we'd be. Or even Leo, what about the guy who was about to be fired? If Leo couldn't handle riding with him. But thank God that man was willing to share Jesus. I mean, he still did his job. Listen, and I would tell you, don't not do your job to share the gospel. Share the gospel in your job. What's great about driving is you got lots of free time, don't you, Leo? Just a lot of talk time. That was a man willing to do that. I love what Andrew said. It's a great quote, actually. The church is not the church if it's not outside, it's the church. Can I say that again? The church is not the church if it's not outside the church, too. You know, we have on our back of our shirts, the church has left the building, right? You know what, brothers and sisters, we're called to leave the building, but we're called with intentionality to preach the gospel, to share Jesus. And listen, the results are not ours. Not everybody will like it. Matter of fact, some people will so dislike it that they'll try to cause pain. But there's no other answer. There's no other solution to their problem but Jesus. And so, in the end, we're called to be the church, to be and to live in Acts 29. Let me pray. Lord, you are amazing. I just thank you for the four who are willing to share, to be exposed, and to honor you, Father, even with a witness. But more than that, or as much as that, I thank you for the five or six in their lives, the seven in their lives, who were willing to share Jesus, who were willing to be exposed, who were willing to take risks, who were willing to be rejected, but who were, I trust, overcome with power in the Holy Spirit. And so they were witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth, which includes Patchogue and Medford and Farmingville and Selden and Center Reach and Shirley and Mastic and Riverhead, Ridge, Ronkonkoma, Setauket, Islip, Bayshore, Blue Point, and every place in between. God, please, let us not have to work something up. Let us just be so in love with you that we can't help but talk about you. I love you, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. We're going to have a time of corporate prayer. The father loves when his children come to him in prayer. So what we're going to do is there are going to be a couple of people walking around with microphones. If you would like to pray, please raise your hand. Wait till you get the microphone so everyone can hear you. We're going to try and focus our prayer on God's Great Commission, on what he's calling us to be and doing our part for his church. And when we get done with prayer, I will close us in prayer. All right? So if anyone would like to pray, please just raise your hand.
Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the commandment to go and make disciples, Lord. They pass on your word, and you don't have to go to the seminary school to do it, Lord. You gave the 12 apostles in their day, Lord, and you commissioned them. Lord, I give up my heart and my soul and everything to pass on by a simple word, a simple deed. In your name I pray.